have a really packed 2 hours ahead of us. And, you know, the show, Ladies Can We Talk, is dedicated to the idea that all issues are women's issues and that everyone who understands the goodness and greatness of America needs to be standing up for it in this time, needs to be standing up and speaking up for America. Well, we've got a very, very packed show. I'll just quick tell you what we're going to do, and then I want to get to my opening dialogue in just a moment. But, you know, we have a lot of news that kind of covers a wide range of stories and wide range of events. I want to mention, we're going to talk tonight a little bit about this Iranian defector. This is brand new news. I think it was just yesterday, an Iranian journalist defected from Iran, and among his first statements he's made to the press, and we're going to talk about it more, he says the United States negotiating team, the P5 plus one, the team negotiating with Iran to stop Iran from developing nuclear weapons, this defector says the U.S. negotiating team is mainly there to speak on Iran's behalf. Other startling, very alarming things he's telling us about was in these very, very secret negotiations, what our government's really doing. We also have the state of North Dakota, where I have cousins and aunts and uncles. The state of North Dakota brings America one step closer to a very controversial idea, the Constitutional Convention of the States, or as people have been calling it, the CONCON, and that may be coming our way. We're getting very close to having enough states to actually call a convention of the states, and we're going to be speaking with this evening with Jeanine Turner. She's our just a lovely woman. Met her recently. She is an actress. Many of you probably know her from her time on television, but she is the founder of Constituting America, a fabulous group that works to educate people about the importance of the Constitution. She'll be calling in to talk about this Constitutional Convention idea. We also, the state of Indiana is under attack for passing a law called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. This is a law that's already a law in 19 other states. It has been already, and it's also a federal law signed by President Clinton. But somehow, Indiana's pushed the wrong buttons, and this has caused a major protest in Indiana, and we'll talk about that later today. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Hillary's banned words. This is you may have heard some of her supporters came out saying the following words may not be used in any media coverage talking about Hillary Clinton. So I'm going to be sure and use them as often as I can, but we're going to talk about that also. And then we actually have some very interesting developments in the whole arena of the idea of what feminism is. So we're going to turn to those stories today. I have my leading ladies joining me this second hour, but in this very first segment, I want to talk with you about not just in isolation about Ted Cruz's announcement speech where he's going to be running for president, but what kinds of things are the conservatives going to be saying as they come out? There are apparently 20 or 21 Republicans seriously contemplating running for the presidency. And I think, and Ted Cruz came out first. He had a brilliant speech on this past Monday, and he did in a short amount of time raise $2 million. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I will say this is, I am speaking from memory, is probably imprecise, but a very significant amount of those donations of that $2 million he raised in like 3 days or something was in increments of $500 or less, meaning many, many people are trying to support him. You know, there are federal limits, there are limits in federal law which you can contribute to a campaign, and it's $2,700 per person in the primary and $2,700 per person in the general. So many people could probably max out. They would donate their $2,700 right out front if that's what they chose to do. But his announcement, the method of the announcement, the way he used social media so masterfully, the way he announced in a very widely publicized speech that everyone knew what he was going to announce, it really kind of sent a signal of, I'm serious, I want to get out there and tell you what I'm talking about. And I think a lot of his messages are reaching out to younger voters, and they're very much about America's future. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some of his messages, and then we will do that as the other candidates come along and eventually announce. I believe Marco Rubio is considering announcing next week or sometime soon. So I want to talk, but I want to hit a couple of things about Ted Cruz's announcement he's running for president. You know, he was a way come from behind candidate in the state of Texas. I believe when he started out his campaign to run for U.S. Senate, he was at something like 4% name recognition, some tiny number. But and the incumbent lieutenant governor who was announcing and running for that seat had nearly universal name recognition. I mean, wide name recognition because he had been a statewide office holder for many years. But, you know, the Ted Cruz's campaign here was really a grassroots, I want to tell you my vision of America kind of campaign. It was strong, it was forceful, it was positive, it was hopeful. It made people, he kind of talked in Texas like many of us who are old enough to remember Ronald Reagan speaking. Now, I'm not comparing the two. They're different people in different eras, but there was a hopefulness about him and his candidacy for Senate, and the same thing came through, in my view, in his comments as he announced his candidacy for president. And, you know, I want to mention just a couple of things. Tell you a quick story. We, at our home, we have a lot of political events at our home. I try to help not just candidates, but I help some of the think tanks and conservative organizations of various kinds. We had a function at our house recently, just this past week, and as someone was leaving, she stopped me at the door to say, you know, the thing I want to ask every presidential candidate is essentially, how are you going to work with the other side? How are we going to get things done for this country? Will you work with the other side well? And you know, I said, I will tell you, I don't recount everything I said to her. I'm just going to tell you what I think about that question and why it matters so much for America. We hear people on the left say that we need to work together, we need to find, you know, that they complain about conservatives and Republicans, they won't work with us, they won't come together. And I'm going to tell you, in very experienced, political experience, plain English, what that means. When the left says the other side won't work with us, they're too partisan, they won't work with us, what they mean is, we the left are trying to tell what you guys, exactly what you have to do, you must do what we want you to do, or else you're not working with us, or else you're not going to get things done. I'm going to give you examples and kind of two different aspects of that. First of all, a lot of what the left wants to do in America is bad. Let me give you the Obamacare as an example. When Obamacare passed in 2010, the majority of Americans polled over and over and over, before it was considered, during the time it was being contemplated in Congress, and after it was passed, the majority of Americans said, we don't want this law. We don't want the federal government to take over the healthcare system. The American people spoke loud and clear and said no, and the left said, we don't care what you think. So what the left does is decide the ideas they want, and they push them, and the idea that we on the conservative side should say, make it really important in your thinking and choosing your candidate. Find someone who will work with them. The left doesn't work with us. It doesn't work with us at all. I'll give you another huge example with respect to Obamacare and its implementation, as well as in immigration and amnesty. What President Obama has done in numerous arenas in America has simply said, I know what I want, and If I can't get Congress to do it, I'm going to do it anyway. He doesn't try to negotiate with Congress. He doesn't find a middle ground. He doesn't listen. In the United States Senate, Harry Reid had, in the entire last year of his, when he was majority leader, he had only two bills, I believe it was, in which he allowed amendments to be offered. The left doesn't negotiate at all politically in Washington. So when you hear this, find someone who's going to get things done. Recognize all that means in the mainstream media and to the American left is find someone who will do exactly what the Democrats tell them to do without arguing. That's what the left means. And you know what? We don't need that. This is not a quality to seek out in picking your presidential candidates, someone to get along, because the left doesn't negotiate with us, doesn't compromise, doesn't even come to terms and talk about the issues. They force their agenda through over and over and over and over. We need a fighter. And I am not, in this particular monologue, you know, saying Ted Cruz is the guy. I think he's a great guy. I think we have several strong candidates. But it is not any virtue at all in America to choose someone who says, yes, I'll work, I'll compromise. Because all that means is why America has been dragged to the left for the last 40 years is because the left pushes their agenda, and the conservatives or Republicans compromise, capitulate, and surrender. We don't need someone who's advertising, vote for me, I surrender easily. We don't need that. And one other thing I want to mention about Ted Cruz's opening speech, which I thought was just, if you haven't read it, it's posted on our Facebook page, Ladies Can We Talk. It's a really fabulous speech, I think, and there will be many fabulous speeches. I look forward to hearing Marco Rubio's. I've heard him speak twice recently. He's brilliant, and he's thoughtful. He's very engaging, so I urge you to listen to that also. But the other thing I wanted to mention was a lot of people in the American left, after Ted Cruz made his announcement speech, were criticizing or denigrating or mocking the idea that he comes up with bold ideas. Like, who does he think he is to talk about, you know, getting rid of abolishing the IRS? You know, it's so extreme. It's so radical. Abolishing the IRS is crazy. Or actually repealing all of Obamacare. The left mocks, and the media, the mainstream media, and frankly, and sadly, many people on the Republican side mock the idea of taking a big idea and standing up for it and fighting for it. But ladies and gentlemen, that is what we need. We need someone who embraces bold ideas, and whatever they are, listen to all the candidates. But there's nothing wrong with embracing good, big, bold ideas. Just imagine if you had, in, you know, 15 years ago in America, been told the entire healthcare system is going to be taken over by the Democrat Party, by the Washington bureaucrats, and you're not going to be able to keep your insurance anymore. You would have said, that would never happen. This is America. We don't have socialized medicine. But here we are. We have, essentially, socialized medicine. And the left takes big ideas and they just do them. They don't wait for the Republicans to agree. They don't wait for anyone to agree. They just do it. And so if we have good ideas on our side, and abolishing the IRS, you have to have a plan. What are we going to do about that? But you have to fight for the ideas that you believe in. And big, bold ideas are patriotic and they're wonderful. And one last thing about about Ted Cruz's announcement as it relates to President Obama, and then we've got to rush to a break because we're a tiny bit over already, is this idea that people say, well, we don't want to elect somebody who has only had a couple of years in the Senate, because that's really, you know, we're not, this is a really bad example. Look what Obama did. He only had 2 years in the Senate. I'm going to just say this once. President Obama was not a bad president, is not a bad president, because he only had 2 years in the Senate. He's a bad president because he doesn't believe in the goodness and greatness of America. This is Debbie Georgiadis and Ladies Can We Talk, and come on back after the break for a great show.
660 AM, The Answer.
Liberals and the media try to paint the Republicans as the party of no. But the way I see it, Republicans, or at least conservatives, are the party of yes. We say yes to families, to strong families. We say yes to educational choice for Americans of every income level. We say yes to life, to babies and to moms. We say yes to legal immigration. Yes to responsible healthcare system that honors the doctor-patient relationship. We say yes to fiscal responsibility, to actually balancing the budget and living within our means. We say yes to keeping America strong and safe, to defending our country from enemies abroad and by securing our borders at home. Every week on my show, I urge Americans to speak up for America and say what conservatives stand for. Because when we say that, the mainstream of America will be right with us. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and Ladies, Can We Talk?
Dude, do you hear that? What is that? That doesn't sound good.
Oh man, this isn't good at all.
Hold on. Let me see what this does. Hey, is it better?
Nope. I'm pretty sure this is the opposite of better. Wait a minute, what are we gonna do? This is awful.
Looks like you need the help of American Leak Detection.
American Leak Detection.
Oh, man, it's Will Nell with American Leak Detection.
Save us!
No worries, guys. American Leak Detection has been around for more than 25 years detecting and repairing hidden leaks in your home. Plus, we do all this without cutting huge holes in your wall.
Thanks, American Leak Detection.
American Leak Detection.
Leak detection without destruction.
Just go to ALDDFW.com next time to get a hold of us. It's much easier.
American Leak Detection.
I'm not a victim. I'm a fighter.
I'm calling the shots here.
You don't need to live your life in fear. Face the threat of cancer head on with a team of trusted experts on your side. Baylor Charles A. Sammons Cancer Center, arming you with the facts at our cancer care website so you understand your risk and know what to do next. Empowering you with advanced screenings so you feel confident in your results. And if cancer should ever start, Baylor Charles A. Sammons Cancer Center is where it stops. It's the experienced oncology experts on our medical staff who develop a treatment plan just for you, and patient navigators who guide you through every step, reducing your stress and boosting your confidence. Time to show cancer who's boss.
I'm fighting to win.
With the help of Baylor Charles A. Sammons Cancer Center, changing cancer care for life. Learn more at BaylorHealth.com/cancercare.
Warning, if you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to change the station. Because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it's faster than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to change the station now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. is available to settle your debt, too. You may reduce your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now. 1-800-400-3757. That's 1-800-400-3757. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now. 1-800-400-3757. 1-800-400-3757. 1-800-400-3757.
660 AM, The Answer.
660 AM, TheAnswer.com.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Good evening and welcome back again. Debbie Georgiadis and Ladies Can We Talk. And I believe we're welcoming on the line Janine Turner. Hello?
Hi, yes, how are you?
Very well, how are you?
Great, thank you.
I mentioned at the outset of our show that I had the just privilege of meeting you recently a couple of times, and I wanted to spend more time than I had a chance to tell our listeners a little bit about Constituting America. So it's the group you formed, but why don't you just tell them all a little bit about it?
Sure, and Debbie, it's great to be on your show. I'm just so impressed with you. I think you're just a great American, and I love what you're doing for, you know, America, citizens like you, you know, that we stand up and say, hey, there is something I can do. I have a voice. I can express it. I can gather. You know, you're doing everything that the First Amendment says. You know, you're exercising your voice, freedom of speech, and your freedom to assemble. And it's
Thank you.
Awesome what you're doing. I'm very impressed with you. And it's been my great pleasure to meet you and to be on your show. And having had a radio show and I'm on hiatus now, I just hear you and go, oh, yeah, I remember those days. But I launched Constituting America in 2010. And Constituting America is I co-chair with Kathy Gillespie. And the goal is to educate Americans, all Americans, about the value and the pertinence of the United States Constitution, that it's a nonpartisan document, that George Washington said in his farewell address that the party system would be the demise of America, because people would care more about their party than about being an American. And I feel that's what's happening a lot. And now, unfortunately, what happens is that the liberals and the progressives want to just sort of dismiss the Constitution because they don't really want to have to be constrained by it. And so they painted it as a Tea Party document or a Republican document. And last week alone, I gave 4 speeches to college kids, to middle school kids, to a group of women, and to a group of another group of college kids. And over, I said, if anyone says to you that it's a party document, it's not. It didn't even exist at the Constitutional Convention. It's for everybody. So we reach out. We have a contest for kids, best short film, best song, best public service announcement, best essay, best speech, because we're really trying to get, you know, infiltrate the culture with just the thought of America in a very hip sort of way. In the way that, you know, if you do a Christian movie, if it's really, really Christian, you're only preaching to the choir. But if you do a movie that's kind of cool, that has a Christian theme, then you're bringing in a wider audience. That's what we're trying to do by getting these songs that sound so hip and so cool and so pop on the radio, but they're mentioning this word like liberty, freedom, constitution, that we can maybe infect the culture in that way.
I just think it's brilliant, Janine. And actually, I've seen recently and hearing one of your talks, you played excerpts of some of the songs kids have written and some of the artwork they've created. And I urge everyone to go to your website. Is it what is your website again?
It's constitutingamerica.org.
Yeah, it's really great. Well, I want to, as you recall from radio, I'm sure that time just flies on radio. And there are a couple of things I definitely wanted to hit on. Mm-hmm. One was, it's been in the news this week about how the state of North Dakota has now voted in favor of having a convention of the states, a constitutional convention of the states. And I've heard you speak about that a little bit. It's in Article 5 of the Constitution we love that says essentially you can have a constitutional convention started at Congress level, or you can have one started by the states. And this is one they're talking about being started by the states. And there's great consternation. I guess the states are saying to with the goal of trying to have a balanced budget amendment, but there's a lot of concern among conservatives about whether a constitutional convention is kind of opening a dangerous can of worms. And so do you have a thought about that?
I do. I feel very strongly about this issue. There's never been one before. It's always been done through the Congress. But the reason our founding fathers gave us two ways to amend the Constitution, one being through Congress and one being through a convention of the states, is because, you know, exactly what we're facing today. We have, unfortunately, a government that's not holding itself accountable. And it's getting bigger and bigger and more dysfunctional. And it's creating apathy amongst the American people because we all feel powerless. And I think that that's why we have choice two, which is, as you say, an Article 5 convention where the states come together. Because if Congress is going to hold themselves accountable, we can. And that's when I give my speeches, I talk about this. We still, because of the Constitution, have lots of avenues to be of service, to speak out, to amend the Constitution, to hold our government accountable. And, you know, there is a wave of thought, a lot of fear out there where people say, oh, no, if you do a convention, you know, next thing we know, we won't have our Second Amendment rights. Well, look, my first knee-jerk reaction to that is our country was founded with much more bravery than this. Our founding fathers were brave. They knew what needed to be done to save the country. And you know what? Inherently, so do we. We know what we need to do to save the country, and we cannot be scared. We can't be scared of what ifs. What's worse? You know, lying supinely on our back, clinging to the phantom of hope, which is what Patrick Henry said. We can't just hope things are going to get better. Obviously, they're not. So I believe we need to be brave. We need to just take a stand. If we weren't from a lineage of brave human beings, we never would have declared independence. We never would have won the Revolutionary War, and we never would have had a constitution to begin with. The second thing is, these delegates from the states that are appointed by the states have to stick by law. A lot of states are passing these laws. They have to stick to exactly the tasks that were they what they were. If they're sent to work on a balanced budget amendment, that's what they have to work on. If they don't do that, they can be recalled. So there are safeguards.
You know, it's interesting. You probably are familiar. I'm sure you're familiar with a book that was written by Mark Levin called The Liberty Amendments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, I had him on my show about it. I did. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he's a unique guy, but I appreciate him immensely. He's a brilliant scholar. He talked about in his book, and I think I'm pretty sure that at this time, this convention of the states were to go forward now with these, we're on the way to having 34 states. The only issue that they all would be sent to talk about is balanced budget. But Mark Levin's book is about, it actually proposes 11 different amendments that he thinks should be made to the Constitution. And I got to thinking about how, you know, maybe the good way, since it's never been before done in American history, maybe this first, you know, time we do this should be just one issue. Doesn't that at least, rather than everything he's talking about, doesn't it seem a little safer?
Well, yeah, and I'm with Mark Levin. I have quite a few as well. You know, you and I discussed this. You know, I think that all treaties that are passed, we can't name them anything else, you know, that are negotiated abroad, they need to be ratified according to Article 1, Section 2, Clause 2. I think there should be term limits. I'm really kind of becoming a term limit person. We should limit our executive orders to things that they're supposed to be, which is just executing duly passed legislation. You know, I believe that we should limit the page numbers of bills bills, you know, that we should say that our representatives should read the bills. They should understand the bills. They should testify under oath that they've read the bills before they vote. There are a lot of amendments we could be doing, but perhaps it is good to start with one, you know, because then it's very, very specific, and Americans can see, look, we did it. It's done, and because we haven't had an amendment in you know, a very, very long time, and I think Americans are thinking that it's something that just really can't be done anymore, but it can be done.
You know, yes, I think you mentioned the Tea Party earlier. I think also there's a lot of concern among more establishment type Republicans and certainly on the left that you're opening something, and maybe if people aren't involved in the Tea Parties or a conservative activist group, they see this as kind of wild-eyed and frontier justice or something, rather than the very orderly process that the Constitution and the state laws to implement it will require. I mean, it's a meeting you're going to sit down and hammer it out. But I think there is that kind of vague fear about it just being the Wild West and changing something so, as you and I agree on, is something so precious as the Constitution. But yeah.
Well, they probably just don't want any more constraints.
Well, the left. How about the left?
The left probably going, no. We don't want to be constrained. The progressives and the left are either one of two things. Either they don't really understand the Constitution, and I speak about this a lot. You know, if someone says, I've had people quite point blank say to me, I don't like it, and I say, oh, really? Which part? And then people are dumbfounded because they don't really know it. So
yeah.
it harkens back to party divide. People are willing to side with something when there's an ignorance behind it. They don't even know why they're siding with it. They're just siding with it because it's what the Democrats do, or we could say it's what the Republicans do as well. And it's just really imperative all of us just get to know have the both sides of the picture, all the information, so we can reason and make the right decision.
Yeah, you know, and Janine, one other thing I want to jump on, I know this segment's nearly finished, but I want to touch on briefly, because you talked about it, I thought, so eloquently the other day, about the idea that right now President Obama is a part of a team negotiating with Iran about trying to protect America from, or trying to protect the world from having Iran have nuclear weapons, and this entire, he won't call it a treaty, agreement that they're working on, he wants to bring to the UN and essentially circumvent the United States Senate and their role in the Constitution to give advice and consent before a treaty is ratified. I mean, doesn't that just strike you as among the most basic? This example seems like exactly why that provision is in the Constitution for serious, serious deals like this.
Yes, I actually have a petition, and you can go to JanineTurner.com or like my Facebook page, Janine Turner, or follow me on Twitter, Janine Turner, J-A-N-I-N-E, and you can sign my petition, because we're 2 days away from the first initial stages of the deal being finished. I find this to be absolutely deplorable, and this is one of the reasons why the government's gotten too big. They rename things. They're like, well, it's not really a treaty. It's an executive agreement, or it's really not really a treaty. It's a congressional agreement. A treaty is this, but that's all baloney, because a treaty is a treaty. This is in the Federalist, which Alexander Hamilton wrote to explain Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2. Any agreement with a foreign nation is a treaty, and a treaty is supposed to be ratified by the Senate. Otherwise, we're giving one man the power to go over to a foreign country, which has huge and sometimes detrimental and dangerous implications on our own lives, our children's lives, our families' lives, our state's welfare, our country's welfare, that he wants. Not what the people want. He's acting as a king, a dictator, a tyrant. That's exactly what our founding fathers didn't want. It's supposed to be ratified. But they've gotten away with it. They rename it. So they get away with all these things because we are asleep at the wheel and we don't stand up. And so they do it and they do it and they do it. The precedents are set and they just keep doing it. So it's this deal, and if he takes it straight to the UN, if it bypasses Congress altogether, then the UN says, okay, we're taking away our sanctions. Then all of a sudden America is in violation of the UN because we don't want to take away our sanctions because Congress has approved these sanctions. And it's a big, big mess, all orchestrated by President Obama, who didn't care to consult the American people through their representatives in the Senate. So now the Congress is floundering, going, well, we need to approve, but it's called something else, but how are we going to approve it? Well, let's pass a bill. So they want to pass a bill that can then be vetoed by the president, when all along this shouldn't even have to be a bill. It should just be ratified by the Senate according to Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2. And things like this just drive me crazy. But if we don't stand up, we can't hold – they won't – if we don't make a lot of noise, they'll just keep doing it.
Well, Jeannie, you know, we are up against the end of our hour, but I love the last thing you said, make a lot of noise. I do hope everyone listening understands the Constitution has provisions that keep America safe, stable, orderly, predictable, intact. And if we let people like President Obama or any president of either party ignore it, we do it not just to the peril of the issue at the time, but to the peril of the safety and stability of America for years to come. So, I want to thank you. Yeah, say again, and I urge everyone listening to go to your website and say the name of it again, please, if
it's
you would.
JeanineTurner.com.
Okay, and also the ConstitutingAmerica.org. And Jeannie, thank you for your work in Constituting America and for your patriotism and your fun and feisty to talk to. Thank you for all the good you're doing.
Thank you, Debbie. You keep up the great work. I'm very impressed with you as well. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Bye.
We'll be right back after the break.
Learn a little something at the start of your day. The Mark Davis Show. Mornings 7 to 10 on 660 AM. The Answer.
Ladies, did you hear that public schools in America are pushing for the expansion of the number of kids who are served dinner at school, along, of course, with breakfast and lunch? And the trend is growing. In 13 states, just last year, 104 million dinners served to students in schools. And the government reimburses schools for serving dinners, often paying the schools more than the food costs. So the schools are, of course, incentivized to grow these programs. A win-win, right? Except, what about the impact this trend will have on family closeness, parental responsibilities, and family planning decisions? And who spends time with your kids shaping the next generation's views? This is Debbie Georgiadis. While we do have a noble society that cares for the poor, our policies and our tax dollars should not be used to wean parenting responsibilities away from parents or as substitute government for mom and dad. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and ladies, can we talk?
Our sister station, 94.9 KLTY and Dallas Baptist University, present Matthew West in Concert, Thursday, April 9th at Northwood Church in Keller with special guest Colton Dixon. You loved him on American Idol, and Thursday, April 9th, you get to hang out with Colton Dixon.
You are the song, you are the song I'm singing.
Get your tickets now at itickets.com. That's itickets.com. Enter password KLTY. We're bringing the hottest concerts to North Texas, and when you throw Mr. Byron Talk Box Chambers in the mix, you know it's going to be a party. Matthew West in Concert. Get tickets now at itickets.com. That's itickets.com and enter password KLTY. Matthew West in Concert, Thursday, April 9th at Northwood Church in Keller. Get tickets now at itickets.com.
Have you ever responded to a great deal on carpet cleaning only to find yourself playing Let's Make a Deal once the crew arrived? When you made your appointment, it was all about discounts, free areas, and maybe even gift with purchase. But when the carpet cleaner arrived, it was an extra charge for this and that, and lots of pressure to buy extra things you didn't want. At Dalworth Clean, we've cleaned over a million homes since 1976, and there's a good reason we consistently have an A rating from the Better Business Bureau and win the Consumer's Choice Award year after year. Our focus is on making you happy, not making you spend more. So if the deal sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Call Dalworth Clean instead and find out why, after almost 40 years, it's still true. The next best thing to new is Dalworth Clean. Visit Dalworth.com, get a free quote, make your appointment 24/7.
Call 267-8433 because the next best thing to new is Dalworth Clean.
Hi, Auntie Christine. Thanks for the Easter basket you sent me. It has all my favorite candies and a stuffed bunny rabbit. The basket even has my name on it. It's the best Easter basket ever. I miss you.
Surprise the little ones in your life with personalized Easter baskets from Personal Creations. Each wicker basket comes with a fabric liner and the design you choose. Then it's filled to the brim with free candy, chocolate eggs, a chocolate bunny, jelly beans, Peeps, and a free stuffed bunny, all for just $19.99. Plus, you can have a name embroidered on it for free.
Thanks, Grandma. This Easter basket is awesome. Yum!
Personal Creations Easter baskets are always a big hit with kids. And right now, these incredible baskets are only $19.99. Each basket is filled with Easter favorites and personalized, all for just $19.99. The only way to get this special Easter deal is to go to personalcreations.com. Click the orange star in the upper right corner and enter secret code 500. That's personalcreations.com. Click the star and enter secret code 500. Personalcreations.com, 500.
You can listen on the go. Find us on iHeartRadio. 660 AM, The Answer.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiatis, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk, and we actually had a caller in the last segment, and I want to let Janine finish, but she's been holding, she's been holding this time, so I want to bring on Pat. Hello?
Hello, Pat. Yes, this is Pat.
Hi, welcome to Ladies Can We Talk.
Thank you.
So,
I'll go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You were calling about the... about the Constitutional Convention idea?
Yes, I'm carrying that issue on behalf of Texas Eagle Forum during our legislative session, and we do oppose the idea of calling a Constitutional Convention under Article 5.
Okay, why is that?
Well, I know your previous guest said that we all need to be brave, but we don't need to be reckless, and to call a Constitutional Convention under Article 5 would be, in our view, reckless, because there's too many unknowns. Once the two-thirds of the states apply to the Congress to convene a convention, all of the authority is left up to the Congress as to who the delegates will be, how the vote will be, what the agenda will be. And you can pass many amendments. Article 5 says amendments, plural. It doesn't say one amendment. And so for the Constitution of the state, group to say that they can guarantee that all these different things are going to happen the way they say it's going to happen is just something that they think or that they hope, but they can't really predict for sure that that's going to happen that way.
Are you saying you think that the delegates sent to the Convention of the States would be chosen by the U.S. Congress versus by the states, the legislatures?
If you read Article 5 of the Constitution...
I have it right here in front of me. Yep.
The second half leaves all authority in calling the convention up to Congress. And from 1973 to 1992, our Congress had such concerns about one of these conventions actually happening because they were getting so many petitions that they filed over 41 bills in Congress trying to set in law what would happen in a convention of state, a constitutional convention, if it were ever convened. And it's interesting to look at the none of them passed, by the way, but the similarities of those bills, they wanted to make the delegations based on apportionment, like our Electoral College, which would mean, like Texas, would have 38 delegates. It's the same number as your Senate and House delegations. And then it wanted the vote for the amendments to be based, two-thirds of the delegation strength would have to pass an amendment. So your very populated states in the West and East Coast, which are our most liberal states, would have a great big vote in this. So you have to look at many, many things. There's too many unknowns about this convention.
Is there anything that could go so wrong in this country? Anything that the federal government could do that you think would be bad enough that you would support a convention of the states?
Absolutely not. And let me just throw this in. There's nothing wrong with our Constitution. And if our Congress is not already upholding our Constitution, what makes us think that if we go in and change it, that they're going to uphold anything we change? One more quick thing. This would be a convention that wouldn't just be Republicans or just conservatives there. This would be a convention with both Democrats and Republicans there. Can you imagine such a convention with the division that there is in our country right now?
You know, I want to go back to something you said a moment ago, and I will do some research. I'm a lawyer by background, and so I've read things about this. I haven't read the one point you were making. You're saying that Congress, the United States Congress, tried to pass laws over a period of years relating to how a convention of the states would occur. But did you say none of those passed? Is that what you said?
None of them passed.
Okay, so Congress, I got to jump in. So Congress does not have laws in place right now, because I do know that some of the states that passed this resolution, we are on the way to, is 34 states required to to call a convention of the states. Now we have 27 who've done it. And at least some of them placed in their state law that the procedure for, you know, what it was, the issues that would be covered, that would be convened only for the purpose of the in this case, balanced budget amendment, trying to force Congress to balance the budget. And it also described how the delegates would be selected. So you said at the start that the delegates would be picked by Congress, but I'm not sure that's, I do some more research, but I'm not sure that's accurate.
Well, Texas has got a bill pending right now that would do the same thing. That it's a bill. It's not a joint resolution that actually says what our delegates would do. But I'm not an attorney, so I'm just telling you. But I'm just certain that the Congress can override whatever the states get. But because if you're reading Article 5, all authority is left to Congress. And again, there's many unknowns about this. If you had longer to talk and I had my paper, I'm driving to Austin, I'm sorry. but if I had my paper in front of you, there was actually a congressman back in the early 70s. He was a former congressman of, I believe, Michigan. Hoover was his name. But anyway, he asked for an opinion. The cross-district busing was going on at the time, and he was going to try to put an amendment in the Constitution related to that. And he was asking the question, if we were to convene a constitutional convention, could it be limited to one amendment? And he asked the Supreme Court, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the other authority. He asked the Library of Congress or something like that. And what came back was they cited him something that happened with Thomas Jefferson in Indian treaties. And he had asked the same question. And basically what the answer was, and this is off the top of my head again, I'm sorry, what you have to do is convene the convention, and if you don't like how it's going, file a lawsuit, and then we'll tell you what will happen. We can't tell you if it can be limited. And so, again, there's too many unknowns related to this, and I believe there's a reason why we've never had a constitutional convention, that we've always amended the Constitution through our Congress.
Yeah, you know, actually, I have two other callers on the line on this same subject of the Constitutional Convention, so I'll turn to them in a moment. But I do have the Constitution right in front of me. Ever since President Obama got elected, I have the Declaration and the Constitution with me at all times, because I am so concerned about our country's future. I don't read I'm not a constitutional scholar, but I don't read the language of Article 5 as stating what I believe you're saying, which was that Congress runs the convention of the states. It doesn't say that, but now maybe that's been an interpretation people have had. I will say also, and I'm going to place this, I'll tell all of our listeners, I'll put this on our Facebook page, there was a meeting in Washington, a group calling themselves the Convention of the States, that issued a thing called the Jefferson Statement. And it is constitutional scholars from around America who they're lawyers and constitutional scholars at major universities, and who they came up with this statement, which essentially says that a Convention of the States would be, the subject matter would be defined precisely by what the state said they were going to have the convention for. Like, you couldn't call a convention to have a balanced budget amendment and say, hey, while we're here, let's get rid of the Second Amendment or something. So I think that some scholars feel comfortable with it. And I will say, and Pat, I do agree that is very, very extreme circumstances that should ever require a convention of the states. And we can't have it every time we don't like some minimal federal law. Having said that, I mean, some minor federal change, I feel like we're at a crisis point in our country, so I'm a little more open to, all we do is raise debt, and to my view, the American left is perfectly happy to continue to raise the American debt to the point where we are bankrupted, to which we truly have a financial crisis, and nothing else has stopped them. So to me, that one, now, you know, there are many, many other amendments people like to see, and I probably a little more reticent to have a wide open convention of the states. But I think the founding fathers put this there for a circumstance or a time like this. So I respect people's different views on it. I'm a little more open to it the more I read, but I'm glad you raised some good points. I want to thank you for calling. I see I have two other callers coming in. Did you have one last quick thing to say, Pat?
Yeah, just real quick. don't forget that the liberals are just waiting on the side wings to jump in on this convention. There's the move to amend.org, and then there's the Young Turks and the Wolf Pack. So we've got our liberals ready to pounce on this thing, too.
Oh, we sure do. This would not be just a concern. You're sorry. Pat, thank you for your call and for your activism. I'm going to ask, I see I have two callers, Shirley and Baker, both holding. I'm going to ask him both if you could both please hold during our break, because I'm way past when I'm supposed to take a break. If you can hold on, we'll come back to both of you right after our break. This is Debbie Georgettis, and ladies, can we talk?
660 AM.
The Answer.
660 AM. TheAnswer.com. Sean Hannity addresses the race baiters.
There is a false racial narrative that is pushed time and time again. And even when the facts show that cops are justified in the use of force,
or there's zero evidence that race is responsible for the shootings,
that is the message that they are putting continually in people's minds, and it is reckless and it is irresponsible.
The Sean Hannity Show, afternoons at 2, right before Michael Medved at 5, on 660 AM, The Answer.
Do you ever feel like we live in kind of an upside-down world when you think about what the media is trying to sell us? When poll after poll says Americans never wanted Obamacare, do not want it now, and will never want it, why does our media try to tell us it's radical to try to repeal it and responsible to keep it? The truth is, it's radical to railroad through the nationalization of healthcare against the will of the American people based on lie after lie by the president about being able to keep your doctor, keep your health insurance. And it was done with a legislative bill not one congressman or senator read before voting on it. It's irresponsible to do anything but repeal it. If you want a world that's more right side up, we need more truth-telling. And that's what we do on my show, Ladies Can We Talk, Sundays at 6 p.m. Join me, because truth matters.
Hey, Jim, come on in.
Bill, this is such a great house.
Thanks. 3 beds, 2 baths, and wait till you see the pool.
How'd you get the down payment?
We didn't have to. We called NASA Federal Credit Union at 855-374-NASA and got a zero-down fixed-rate mortgage with no private mortgage insurance on a jumbo loan.
You must be saving hundreds a year with no PMI.
More like thousands. And with no money down, we were able to add the pool. And it was fast. We got pre-qualified online in seconds and closed our loan within 30 days guaranteed. If you're buying a home, you gotta call NASA Federal at 855-374-NASA or visit nasafcu.com/374.
Wow, with zero down and no PMI, we could buy that house Jen likes and furnish it too. But you don't work for NASA.
You don't have to work for NASA to get a mortgage with NASA Federal. Just call 855-374-NASA or visit nasafcu.com/374.
Thanks for the tip. Now can I see the pool?
Equal housing lender. Offer valid on approved credit for primary residences. Membership eligibility required. For more details about credit cost, terms, and conditions, call 855-374-NASA.
Hey, it's Mark Davis. Thank you so much to those who have already signed on to help us at Food for the Poor and their Food for a Year, Water for Life program. One-time gift of $50 gives a child, a starving child in Haiti or Guatemala, food for a year and helps pay for water that can keep them alive forever because they're currently not even going to school because they're having to tote water from a lake 5 miles away. This is no way to live. It's poverty like we'll never see in America, one would hope. But right now it exists and there's something we can do about it. Your one-time gift of $50 saves a kid's life for a year with Food for a Year and Water for Life. 250, 5 kids. 500, 10 kids. Go 1,000, we'll do something very special for you. Co-host The Mark Davis Show with me, 9 o'clock hour, or we'll go to lunch anywhere you want. Phone number is 855-916-HOPE, 855-916-HOPE. 250 gets you Celebrate Freedom concert passes, 855-916-HOPE, or pound 250, say the keyword Mark Davis. Pound 250, then say the keyword Mark Davis, or 855-916-HOPE.
Here's Bill Thomas with Straight Talk on Foundation Repair.
The drought we're having nowadays doesn't necessarily mean your home has foundation issues. Call Accurate Foundation Repair for an honest, accurate assessment on your home's foundation. You may be pleased to find out it's just the drought and not a foundation issue. Call Accurate Foundation Repair at 972-623-2500 or on the web at AccurateFoundationRepair.com.
Accurate Foundation Repair. We give you a lift for the whole lot less.
660 AM, The Answer.
660 AM, TheAnswer.com.
Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgettis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hello there, and thank you again so very much for tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk. This is Debbie Georgiatis, and we have a couple callers on the line. We're talking tonight about the Article 5 of the United States Constitution, which provides two different ways in which the Constitution could potentially be amended. One is the way it has been amended in the past in American history, beginning with Congress. And then the other method is where the convention is being called the Convention of the States. It is an amendment process. It begins with the states. And that's what we're looking at right now. We had over this past week, North Dakota become the 27th of the total 34 needed states that could call for a convention of the states, a constitutional convention, to propose amendments to the Constitution. And the one being proposed relates to the idea of having a balanced budget, mandating through the amendment process that the Congress have a balanced budget in Washington. So we have two callers on the line. We'll go right to Shirley. Hi there, Shirley.
Hi, Debbie. Thanks for having me. You know, I believe that the supporters of the Article 5 Convention are very well intended, but I think they are really seriously overlooking the unintended consequences of an Article 5 Convention. You know, when our founders placed Article 5 in our Constitution, they could not have envisioned the harmful changes in the moral, social, technological, demographic, economic, and public and higher education that have taken place beginning early in the 20th century and rapidly escalating since then. So why should we believe that adding amendments is a solution when lack of enforcement is a problem? Besides the Congress, which will not enforce the Constitution, let's look at the threefold problem that new amendments will not touch. First of all, a president who ignores the Constitution and Congress does not respect the rule of law, administrative law, with all of the unelected alphabet bureaucrats imposing punitive regulations on our public and private liberty, and lastly, but certainly not least, a liberal judiciary, which makes law rather than correctly interpreting the law as intended. Amendments would not correct any of those primary problems. Then the other thing is, as the nation teeters at the edge of fiscal chaos, observers are reaching the conclusion that the American system of government is broken. But and this is what a liberal professor, Louis Michael Seidman of Georgetown University, said. He says, let's give up on the Constitution. As the nation teeters at the edge of fiscal chaos, observers are reaching the conclusion that the American system of government is broken. But listen to this. But almost no one blames the culprit. Our insistence on obedience to the Constitution, with all its archaic, idiosyncratic, and downright evil provisions. Then Professor Sanford Levinson of the University of Texas calls our Constitution our imbecilic Constitution. And he said it is important to take a page from the progressive policies of Woodrow Wilson. And then finally, Debbie, how would amendments be ratified? We hear, oh, we shouldn't be afraid because they have to be ratified by the states, and the states would not go for anything that would be bad. Well, this ratification process is something that needs to be seriously considered. Article 5 tells us that ratification may take place by legislatures of three-fourths of the several states, or by conventions in three-fourths thereof, as one or other mode of ratification may be proposed by the Congress. Well, now, do we want the Congress to decide that ratification may take place by convention rather than the state legislature? And then, finally, Debbie, there are over 100 leftist groups that are pushing for this. Among them are the Progressive Coalition of Northern New York, American Institute for Progressive Democracy, Alliance for Democracy, Alliance for Progressive Values, Progressive Democrats of America.
Shirley, I'm going to have to jump in here. We actually are out of time in this segment. We're literally, all of our segments have run long. I will respond. I really thank you for calling and thank you for all your points. We'll go right back after our break and talk about many of the points that you've raised, because this is really, it's a very big issue. And I think everyone involved, those supporting the convention of the states and those opposed to it, recognize it as something that's very serious. You don't do it lightly. You don't do it to make minor changes. And so I think they all approach it that way. I should tell you, the Georgetown professor you mentioned, I'm a lawyer. I went to Georgetown. Professor Seidman, whom you mentioned a moment ago, I had him for first year, it didn't have him for con law. I had him for another course at Georgetown. But I know him well. He's always been a leftist radical, and as many law professors are. But as we wrap up toward the break, and we do have to cut out here in just 5 seconds, I urge everyone to come back after the break. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and Ladies Can We Talk? Thank you for calling. Texas is right in the heart of the Bible Belt. Christianity is strong here and really across America, but it's not the faith of ignorant, bitter clingers to guns and Bibles. It's the humble faith of intelligent, hardworking, decent people who love their state and their country and their God. And that's why millions of Americans felt insulted and disgusted when Barack Obama chose a national prayer breakfast to paint a picture of moral equivalence between today's Christians and the actions of today's violent Muslim extremists. The good thing about his comments is that they have spurred Americans to think even more deeply about the place of Christianity in America. This is Debbie Georgiadis. I hope you'll tune in every Sunday at 6 p.m. to Ladies Can We Talk? We explore without apology the goodness and greatness of America based on the faith traditions that shaped it.
Geico Motorcycle presents Reflections from the Road.
Let me tell you, the road is a much more relaxing place since I switched to Geico Motorcycle Insurance and started saving money. With that taken care of, now I can think about deep, important things. Like how come it's a pair of pants when there's only one of them? A real brain teaser. But hey, at least saving money with Geico Motorcycle is as easy as pie. What does that mean, anyway?
Geico Motorcycle Insurance. See how much you could save.
Do you run a small business? Do you want it to grow? Well, then don't let your business slow down or shut down because you lost your computer files. Get Carbonite and your files will be backed up to the cloud automatically, no matter how many computers,